coming to. I sure would like to know if they don't do something by and by. The rich will live and the poor will die. Doggone, I mean the panic is on.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. And I'm going to start this hour with kind of a personal plug here. My wife, Claire, as you know, is a composer. She writes a lot of the music you hear here on the show. And her love, you know, she'll write music for clients and stuff, but her love is Sacred Choral Works, and she has a website, alpheussacredmusic.com. I'm about to link it to What Really Happened so you can come look at it. She wrote a piece based on a poem by Alan Watts called I've Seen a Woodland at Fall. It was premiered last December down on the Big Island by the Kona Music Society, and yesterday it had its West Coast premiere with the Wagner Ensemble in Pasadena. Now, for those of you who are familiar with the California choral scene, there used to be a group called the Roger Wagner Chorale, which is very, very, very famous, and then it became the L.A. Master Chorale. Well, this is his daughter, Janine Wagner, and she has her own group, the Wagner Ensemble, and she called Claire a couple of months ago and said, oh, I love your piece of music, we're going to do it. So it had its Los Angeles premiere, and we had a spy in the audience who said they did a really, really wonderful job with it. We're going to try and get hold of a recording. But we did get a video of the Kona Choral Society, Kona Music Society rather, doing. I'm going to put that up at the website. So I'm proud of her. I'm proud of her. I'm just really proud of her. That's my wife over there doing this wonderful stuff. Okay, up in Washington State, this is, again, this is money junkie thinking. Remember how we were all being told, oh, electric cars are great. Electric cars are going to fight global warming. Electric cars, you won't have to buy gas or oil anymore. And it's going to be cheaper and more efficient and all the rest of the stuff. So far, so good. The Washington State Senate has passed a bill, still has to go to the House and still has to have the governor sign it, but get this, they're going to tax electric cars, an annual fee on electric cars to make up for the lost tax revenues that they would have gotten if they were driving a gasoline-powered car. So when you tank up at the car, at the gas station with your car, you know, a lot of that price at the pump are taxes. It's not just money going off to the oil companies and to the oil OPEC and all the rest of it. There's a lot of taxes on there, taxes on taxes on taxes. You'd be amazed how many taxes are on gasoline. And so Washington State is saying, well, if everybody goes to electric cars, we're not going to get that tax money anymore. So they're going to put a fee on the electric cars so they can recover the lost gas tax revenue. And so for the people, you still pay the tax. Whether you're using gas or not, they're still going to hit you with the tax. It's money junkie thinking. And where have the money junkies got us? We're plunged hopelessly into debt in this fascist economic dictatorship, and it doesn't matter how much they take from you. The debt still keeps piling up because we live under this economic system called the Federal Reserve, which is a pyramid scheme. And no matter how much money you make, the debt always exceeds it. So that's money junkie thinking. Over in Kosovo, their government's on the verge of collapse. I imagine there's a lot of imperial powers rubbing their hands about those Trepka mines. Huge, huge, huge mineral resources over there. Now, when we come back from this next commercial break, we're going to be talking about Judge Goldstone, because Judge Goldstone made headlines a while back when he wrote a report for the United Nations which criticized Israel's behavior during Operation Cast Lead, where they went in and dropped white phosphorus all over civilians. Now, all of a sudden, and everybody's scratching their heads about why, except me, Goldstone wrote an op-ed where he basically said, well, maybe I was a little hasty and Israel wasn't really intending to hurt civilians and we really ought to back off. And now, of course, Israel's saying, yee-haw, we're right. They're demanding the United Nations basically shred the report. There's even a motion went through the United States Congress like a bolt of lightning, saying, yes, we support Israel's demand that the United Nations shred the Goldstone report. Well, we know what happened. Goldstone got bought. Corrupt judges, it's not like that's a new thing. It's throughout history, judges go corrupt. Goldstone's no exception. We'll be right back.
The Grainmaker Grain Mill. Handmade goodness since 1999. Handcrafted stainless steel and high-quality alloys. There has not been a finer grain mill made right here in the great state of Montana. Hand-operated, the grain mill does it all. Wheat, corn, peanut butter, rye, rice, coffee, beans, flaxseed, all grain types. Make your own gluten-free flour. Experience the satisfaction of providing wholesome, nutritious foods for your family without additives or preservatives. Each mill is handcrafted with manufacturer's lifetime warranty. To order your grain mill, call us at 1-800-724-2719 or go to our online store, republicbroadcasting.org. Take a look at why this grain mill will be passed down through generation.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous base metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, metal expansion, and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog filters, pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate upon itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphites. Also offers the tremendous benefits of being non-toxic. It's used for a friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. And we're talking about the situation in Israel and this sudden push to try and rewrite history about what Israel's been doing. And, of course, this is, you know, this is getting to be an ongoing thing. We were reporting last week where Israel, which will use the laws of every country on earth to make sure that people only think one view of the history of World War II and its aftermath, is using its own internal laws to force the schools in Gaza to teach Israel's view of World War II to all the Gazan children. At the same time, they passed a law forbidding any discussion or recollection or remembrance or memorialization of the Nakba when Israel came in and basically took Palestine's land away. And I understand why Israel is doing it. I'm sure that everybody in Palestine right now is okay. Even if we accept at face value the claims that the Nazis were really bad people who did horrible things to the European Jewish people, what does that have to do with Palestine? We weren't part of it. We didn't sign up to serve with the Nazis. Why are they coming and taking our land away because of something the Germans did? If there were to be reparations made, give the nation of Israel Germany. And so what we're seeing here is a continuation of a policy of using the law and using government, using the coercion of the legal system to absolutely enforce conformity to a certain point of view. Now, Israel right now is very, very concerned. There are two situations going on that Israel's trying to deal with, even as they obviously are arming for a new war in Lebanon and a new caste led into Palestine. And that is, of course, the fact that Palestine is making a great deal of progress at the United Nations. And we're hearing now that Israel is trying to make a deal with Russia so that Russia will come in and veto any Security Council resolutions recognizing a Palestinian state. Apparently, Israel is not 100% confident they can count on the United States to obey an order to veto the bill because of the overwhelming support for a Palestinian state by the American people. So they're trying to make a deal with Russia. Now, that's going to backfire because there is a United Nations rule where in dealing with certain matters, including the recognition of a state, if the Security Council cannot come to a decision, it can be thrown into the General Assembly. And if the General Assembly decides that Palestine should be recognized as a state, then that's the end of it. There's no veto, there's no recourse whatsoever. Israel has already threatened that if the United Nations moves to recognize a Palestinian state, they're just going to go in and conquer it all anyway. So that by the time the United Nations says, we recognize the state of Palestine, Israel will be standing there on the smoking ruins and say, where? You show me. There's no Palestinian state. It's all Israel now. The bomb craters all belong to us. The depleted uranium belongs to us. So they're talking about outright annexation. And it basically puts the lie to this idea that Israel has wanted peace. No, they don't want peace. They want it all. They want all the land. They're listening to that invisible man in the clouds that nobody else can see or hear, and he says, you get it all from the Nile to the Euphrates. And Israel's saying, yes, we get it all from the Nile to the Euphrates, and we'll take it one way or the other because that is God's will. It's God's will. Do you know how many horrible things have been done in history under that banner? It's God's will. God wills it. God wills it. Kill the children. Kill the women. Slaughter everybody. God wills it. It's a good thing. God said to. You know what's really kind of annoying and frustrating about history? We humans have never managed to invent a truly superior God. Every God we come up with has the manners and morals of a spoiled child. Basically, the gods we invent for ourselves are projections of how we ourselves would act, with infinite power and no accountability. And it's not at all pleasant. So, IDF is preparing for a multi-front war in their current war games. I think their strategy is basically to march Americans into the enemy gunfire until the enemy runs out of bullets. Then they'll declare Israeli victory, and that'll be the end of it. But they're getting ready to basically go into, it looks like they're going to go into Gaza and the West Bank and Lebanon all at the same time. And then when it doesn't go well, they'll say to the U.S., come help us, we're in trouble. And all of those AIPAC bribed members of Congress will say, yes, we must protect Israel at all costs. How do you protect somebody from their own stupidity? You really don't. There's only one way to cure stupidity. Like the old saying, if you want to get a dog to stop chasing cars, let him catch one. All righty. Now, the other situation, the other political threat that Israel is facing right now is that there's going to be another flotilla next month to mark the one-year anniversary of Israel's attack on the international aid flotilla that wound up with 8 Turkish citizens dead, 1 American citizen dead, a lot of Americans captured, a lot of ships hijacked, all in international waters. The very things the Sixth Fleet is killing pirates in Somalia for doing, Israel did and got away with. Because our Congress, the finest Congress money can buy, and our president, the finest president money can buy, ran up to the United Nations and said, no, no, it's okay. They can kill all the Americans they want. Really, I'm sure they had a very, very good reason. Highest act of treason in modern history, I think. So now Netanyahu has gone to the United Nations to say that they must forbid any further efforts to send humanitarian aid to Gaza. Now remember, what Israel is doing in Gaza has nothing to do with safety and security. McClatchy newspapers last year basically published official Israeli government documents that proved this is a starvation blockade to starve the people of Gaza into surrendering their elected government, Hamas, and accepting Israeli puppet rule through their proxy, Fatah. This is exactly what the Soviet Union tried to do with the blockade of West Berlin, to starve the people of West Berlin into surrendering their own elected government and accepting proxy Soviet rule through their puppet East Germany. And when that was being done, the entire Western world launched the Berlin airlift, aircraft after aircraft after aircraft full of food and medicine and supplies flew into the airport in West Berlin. And they kept up, you know, thousands and thousands of tons of supplies every single day, until finally the Soviet Union realized that, you know, the West was not going to allow this to happen, and they withdrew the blockade, and that was the end of that story. Now we have Israel doing exactly the same thing to Gaza, documented by Israel's own government papers. They're trying to starve the people of Gaza into surrendering their elected government and accepting Israeli proxy rule through Fatah. And what does the U.S. government do about it? They look the other way. So now, Israel is up there asking the United Nations to ban the rest of the world from sending food and medicine and building supplies to Gaza, because by golly, Israel has to have what Israel wants. Israel can never back down. Their whole public image, their global image, is that whatever Israel wants, Israel's going to get no matter what, even if it turns out to not really be such a great deal. So that's building to a head there. I don't think the United Nations is going to recognize the right of Israel to continue to starve the people of Gaza to change their political system. We're going to go to the phones. George in Texas. Aloha, George. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
Hanging in there.
I get so frustrated, this pastor burning Qurans. I like to know, what is it, this is so stupid. Doesn't he realize that Christians and Muslims in other countries like Russia and some other Middle Eastern countries do live in peace? And,
He doesn't care. I mean, his church was on the edge of bankruptcy before he started this whole burn the Quran thing. Now all of a sudden people are showing up and the collection plates are full. He's making money hand over fist on this thing. He's got a book out now. He's making a huge amount of money fanning the flames of hatred there.
Well,
it's all about the money. It's money junkie thinking.
I'm
going to set the world on fire as long as I get to put a few gold coins in my pocket.
Well, the thing is, you got these Christians, they're taught to Christians, you got to go after these Muslims, you got to go after these Muslims. And the thing is, and they don't realize, and they're saying, well, we got to bless Israel. And don't these suckers in the pews really realize that you don't see Muslim people demanding crosses and nativity scenes to be removed? It comes
That's
from
right.
these pro-Israel-backed groups that are attacking our religious liberty. All right, go ahead, Christians. Go ahead and, bless the hand that persecutes you.
Well, the essence of religion is that God may have given you a brain, but it's a sin to actually use it. And, that's, of course, one of the main reasons why I very much object to organized corporate religion. I mean, I don't care what people believe privately. Okay, if you're having a nice time with your little fantasy about gods and angels and demons and stuff, go and have fun. I don't go around chasing people who believe in Star Wars and say that, they're having a bad time. What I object to is the corporatization of religion and the use of religion to enslave and exploit people, especially to send them out to fight wars against other people who've done no wrong. Anytime you talk to any of these Christians or even Israelis who are screaming about getting the Muslims, just remind them very simply, since Iran became an Islamic state in 1979, they haven't invaded anybody. In the same period of time, Israel invades and attacks Iraq and Syria and Lebanon and Palestine and over and over and over again, and the United States is constantly invading somebody. So you ask them, who is the threat to world peace based on that record since 1979? And they're not going to have an answer for you. All they'll do is they'll continue to vomit onto you what they have been preached at from the Muslims are bad, they're evil people, we must go kill. And, we've been hearing this same crud going back to the Crusades. Isn't it time for us to all kind of grow up and live in the 21st century? There was that line in the Bible about, I put down childish things. Isn't war based on the invisible man in the clouds kind of childish? And I think it's time to put it down. Okay, we gotta head off here. George, thanks an awful lot for the call. We gotta take a break for commercials.
estrogen dominance, a brand new 20th century disease, a phrase coined by Dr. John R. Lee 35 years ago. Dr. Lee proved that all the estrogen that is coming from food and water is having a devastating effect on our health. The rapid rise in breast cancer, uterine cancer, prostate cancer, weight gain, osteoporosis, feminizing of our boys and early puberty of our girls, and also the destruction of natural killer cell function. Natural killer cells are our only protection from cancer and viral infection. Dr. Lee found that using natural progesterone, about 20 milligrams per day, would not only reverse osteoporosis, but would greatly reduce the cancer issues, as well as dozens of other health challenges we face today. Visit our website, healthlinkamerica.com, to order the DVD on hormone imbalance. Learn how hormone imbalance destroys the immune system and get started on natural progesterone and Cyto-S. It will not only change your life, it may in fact save your life. Once again, that website is healthlinkamerica.com.
Are skyrocketing prescription costs draining your budget? If you don't have insurance or are taking medication not covered by insurance, the Powerhouse Savings Card can lower your prescription costs by up to 50%. Now you and your family can save 20 to 50% on all prescriptions. It's accepted by most pharmacies and mail-order pharmacies nationwide. No prescription card is easier to use. Just show your card and save 20 to 50% right on the spot. There are no monthly fees, just a one-time processing fee of only $4.95 for you and your immediate family. Stop paying full price for prescriptions. Stop going without the medication you need because it costs too much. Now your family can get the prescriptions they need at a cost you can afford. Call 1-800-963-0232 now and start saving money with the Powerhouse Savings Card. Call 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, visit www.lasermedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasermedinc.com.
Call now, 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528.
Tonight.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. We're going to go back to the phones. Dr. Chaim Levine. Aloha, Dr. Levine. Welcome to the show. What is on your mind today? Hello?
The Reba?
Yes?
You were talking about Reba rusting?
Yes. Corroding.
Yes. Well, I happen to know that the Twin Towers rebar was 40 years old, and the buildings had been condemned. It was a, I hate to laugh, but it was a business decision there.
You're close. Okay, the rebar issue at Fukushima is because of steel-reinforced concrete. The Twin Towers in New York were built of a steel frame and an aluminum cladding. And part of the problem is there was actually a little bit of a galvanic corrosion effect going on. The buildings were not condemned, but they were looking at a mandated renovation because of the asbestos that had been used inside them. And a lot of people said that Larry Silverstein definitely, you know, everybody wondered why he took over the buildings when they were facing that renovation that would have bankrupted him. And then, of course, 9/11 happens, and he cleans up on the insurance and goes home happy. And all those first responders get to inhale the asbestos dust and, well, basically go home at that point. So it's not quite the same situation that we're dealing with in Fukushima. The steel in the World Trade Towers was not rebar because there was very, very little concrete within the towers themselves. There was in the foundations. There was in the drywall. But the towers themselves were a steel core and aluminum cladding on the outside. And there was a galvanic corrosion problem going on. But it wasn't really condemned, but it was looking at an asbestos renovation mandated by the EPA.
Wow, you're very informed on that. I'm glad. That's very refreshing. Have you ever heard of Frank Weltner?
No, I can't say that I have.
Or Mischko and Dietrich?
Doesn't ring a bell.
Okay. I have a suggestion. I think we should burn the Talmud. What do you think of that?
Well, I'm going to say thank you very much for the phone call, and we're going to let you go.
Bye-bye.
Going Donna in Colorado. Aloha, Donna. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Mike. Thanks for taking my call. First, let me just state that I really respect your points of view and your mind. You're a brilliant man. I listen to you as often as I can, but I would like to refute the statement that all Christians are pro-Israel. That's like lumping us up together with saying that all Muslims are terrorists. That is totally not the case.
No, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. The caller made that statement. I know there are a lot of Christians that understand that Israel, the government, Israel, the nation, Israel, the political structure, are engaging in some very, very questionable behaviors. But there's a subgroup called the Christian Zionists that absolutely, as a matter of faith, believe that they must support Israel at all times. But they don't represent all Christians. You're correct about that.
Well, thank you for making that statement. And there is a growing movement of leaving corporate churches, the 501c3 tax status churches, and going back to being home church and really examining the Word of God. I know you're not a Christian, you're not there, but there is
no. But I agree with what you're saying. I think religion should be something in the home and small community churches. I grew up in a small community church, and even though they kicked me out, I mean, it did provide a social function of cohesiveness. My argument: the churches I oppose are the big multinational corporations that are
exactly
homes for pedophiles and financially exploit the people and are used to basically control them. To render them under Caesar, so to speak. And,
exactly.
I'm not opposed to all religion, and I'm not opposed to all religions. And I certainly, like I said, what people choose to believe in their private life, I don't have a problem with. I'm opposed to slavery, is what I'm opposed
exactly.
to.
Exactly. Well, there are many Christians out there. It's a growing movement, and we're going to try to make our voices more heard to combat, the Israeli movement. So thank you, Mike, and I'll hang up and enjoy your show.
Well, thank you, Donna, and thank you for bringing that to our attention, and I wish you a lot of luck. You know, it's kind of interesting because what Donna just said ties in with something. I've been spending a lot of time thinking about events, whether it's Fukushima or the Wall Street meltdown, and as longtime listeners understand, I'm opposed to globalism because I think diversity is not only the key to more rapid social evolution, but parallelism is the protection against disasters that can bring an entire system down. If you have one big factory making batteries for the entire country, just to steal a concept from Tom Clancy's Red Storm Rising, if you have one big factory providing the batteries to your country and the factory burns down, then nobody has batteries. If you have one gigantic refinery making all the oil and gas for this huge area and it burns down, then nobody has oil or gas. If you have one nuclear power station providing power for over this vast area, this single interconnected network of power stations providing all the power, and it goes down, everybody's in the dark. But if you have small, little, tiny communities that are producing what they need locally, and one of them gets into trouble, it doesn't affect the neighboring communities. That's another reason why I'm a supporter of small family regional farms rather than these big mega corporations trying to buy it all up. Now, I understand the reason that you see this push for a large corporation that owns all the farms, or a large corporation that owns all the oil companies, or a large corporation that owns all of whatever, because that's money junkie thinking. If I own all the farms that are producing corn, then I can charge whatever I want for the corn, and they'll just have to pay through the nose for it. That's money junkie thinking. But if that one facility crashes or burns or explodes, you got problems. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Help, I've fallen and I can't get up. If you have an elderly loved one, please listen. Whether it's fire danger, a serious fall, or other type of home emergency, Life Alert is there for you. The company with the slogan, Help, I've Fallen and I Can't Get Up, protects 60,000 members.
The first time I fell in that bedroom and I couldn't reach the phone.
When you have a heart attack like I did and there's no one there, Life Alert was there for me.
Having a secure feeling through Life Alert is ideal.
My independence is possible because of it.
Listen to former U.S. Surgeon General Dr. C. Everett Koop.
Thanks to Life Alert, you can live alone without ever being alone. That's why I wear one.
With Life Alert protection, elderly people can often postpone going to a nursing home for several years. For a free brochure about Life Alert service, call now 1-800-410-0739. 1-800-410-0739. Call Life Alert now for your free brochure, 1-800-410-0739.
Aerial spraying, chemtrails, the modified atmosphere, heavy metals and pesticides, carcinogens and chemical fibers all falling from the sky. You have a choice to keep your body clean. Detoxify with microplant powder from hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. It's odorless and tasteless and used in any liquid or food. Protect your family now with microplant powder. Cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, and toxins. Order it now for daily intake and stock it now for long-term storage. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
Don't answer it.
If fear strikes your heart when the phone rings, knowing it may be another bill collector, it's time for you to call Zero Debt in 90 Days. 800-477-9256. Settlements, bankruptcy, and attorneys are not the answer and may end up costing you up to 10 times more than necessary. Listen, if you're already in debt, does it make sense to get buried in another payment plan? Zero Debt in 90 Days gets you out of debt in 90 days guaranteed without a payment plan and without attorneys or going to court. Get the fastest relief from debt on the planet when you call 800-477-9256. If you have debt with the IRS, credit cards, student loans, or a foreclosure, we can help at Zero Debt in 90 Days, and we are the only organization to provide written guarantees on the results. Go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Or call now for free information. 800-477-9256.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Visit us online at whatreallyhappened.com. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
Welcome back to the show. Before I go back to the phones, I want to elaborate on what I was talking about before the break here. I have been thinking very long and hard about modern social trends. And I think maybe as a species, we have gone down a wrong path here in this rush to centralize everything, to basically create one huge society versus many little societies, to constantly concentrate production in the hands of a very, very few. And as I said, I understand why it happens. It's money junkie thinking. If I'm in control of all of car manufacturing, then I get to make whatever cars I want and sell them whatever price I want. Monopoly is basically... somebody in the chat room put up, monopoly is business at the end of its journey. And I don't think that we're at the end of our journey just yet. But I think we've gone in the wrong direction. I think it's time, instead of working towards a global government and a new world order, I think we need to go the other way. We need to decentralize. Instead of piling into these human ranches that they call cities to make it easier to harvest money and labor and soldiers from us. We need to spread out over the face of planet Earth. There's a lot of room out there that is currently not being used. We talk about population pressures. The only place population is a pressure is inside the cities. Maybe it's time to let that model go. in an era, in an age of instantaneous communication anywhere on the planet through the internet, do we really need cities other than to make it easy for governments to harvest soldiers and taxes and businesses to find labor for whatever they're trying to do? But as more and more of the world goes virtual, cities are kind of a relic of a bygone age, I think. Cities are nice as cultural centers, but do we have to have like three big cities in an entire country? Or maybe we need to be spread out a little bit more. Instead of gigantic mega farms, especially going down this wrong direction of genetically modified crops, small little farms spread all around the country. If we reorganize ourselves to live in small communities where each community produces everything it needs, food, water, construction supplies, education, clothing, all of those things. And yes, there'll be trade going on, but if you have a disaster like a Fukushima, well, you basically won't, because if one small community loses its power plant, you know, they can tie into somebody next door. It doesn't bring the entire world down. It doesn't endanger the entire world. Whereas now, with this push toward, you know, more and more centralization and fewer and fewer governments and fewer corporations, we're coming up on an age where a single failure can crash the entire planetary system. Look at Wall Street's mortgage-backed security fraud. It succeeded. That's perhaps the wrong word. It was able to destroy the economy of nation after nation after nation after nation precisely because of this global economic ambition, this goal of having money whiz around the planet without restriction. The reason I'm opposed to a global government is the reason that we have fireproof doors and buildings and watertight bulkheads and ships. National borders serve that function. If you have a fire in a building and the fire doors are all closed, you may lose an office, but the building as a whole remains intact. If you have a leak in a ship and all the watertight bulkheads are shut, all the watertight doors are shut, you're not going to lose the entire ship. If you have a destroyed economy because the money junkies wreck the economy of just one country on planet Earth, the rest of the planet remains intact and functioning. You can open all the fire doors on a building, and for a while it will seem like things are going better and smoother. You can go wherever you want without having to open and close doors all the time. Gee, things are so much better now, until the first fire starts. Then the whole building goes up. Or you can block open the watertight doors on a ship, and then the next time you get a leak, and it just goes, and the whole ship sinks. If you take down those national borders, the first economic disaster that comes along wipes out the entire planet, as has come near to happening now. If you take down the biological barriers around nations, then the first out-of-control infection that shows up spreads all over. When you build these big centralized power stations and they fail, the consequences are catastrophic. Back when I worked for NASA, back when they could still get spacecraft where they wanted to go without them exploding, there was a tremendous, tremendous focus on parallelism. Not one big system that everything depended on, but lots of little systems that worked together. I was witness to the evolution of that trend in the field of computer animation. As you know, before I was a talk show radio host, I worked in computer animation in film and TV. And I spent a lot of my years of my lifetime there. And I remember watching this company in Los Angeles, Digital Productions, and they bought a Cray supercomputer. And they, you know, they got a lot of press out of that. We have a Cray, and it was a big, expensive machine. It didn't even use the C computer language that most of the graphics code was written in, so they had to rewrite a lot of stuff. And everything in this one company went through that one big machine. And every time it broke down, and it broke down a lot, everybody got to go home. And Digital Productions went out of business. And what was amazing is the owners started a new company, and they bought another big, shiny machine that they wanted to impress people with. It was behind glass in the lobby. Ooh, look, we've got this thing. And it was a very inappropriate machine to the task. Of course, today, production companies have learned, and companies like Lucasfilm and Pixar and Digital Domain and all of and Weta, they all understand racks and racks of cheap, inexpensive, machines running in parallel. So if a computer breaks, yank it, throw it in the trash, you're still in business because you're still running. And we need to organize our society and our planet the same way. Not one big, huge government that can break down and destroy everything. Not one huge, single economy that can break down and drive everybody into poverty. We need lots and lots of small, little parallel systems operating together. But if one gets into trouble, it doesn't take the whole structure down. We're going in the wrong direction as a species and a culture and a society and a civilization. We need to turn around now. The Gulf oil disaster was a warning. Fukushima is a warning. The Wall Street mortgage-backed security fraud nearly bankrupting the entire world is a warning. Money junkies want a single one-world government because they dream of owning it all. But we don't need to be owned. We don't need to be part of a single giant planetary system that can be destroyed by the next woodpecker that comes along. We need small local communities. I'll take care of my kids, you take care of your kids. Only in times of war or threat or empire building do you have to band together. That's the only necessity for large nation states, is conquest or defense against conquest. And again, the only reason there's conquest, money junkies. The money junkies want other people's property, and they're willing to kill to get it. And so they'll get the priests to tell you it's God's will that you go down to Jerusalem and kill all the Muslims and steal all the gold and bring them back for the Pope. And then you get into heaven. We're going to go to the phones here. Danny in California. Aloha. Danny, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hello. Aloha. I think you're right on, and I do think we need to totally decentralize all of the major banking, commercial, corporate McDonald's infrastructure. We need to bring it back down.
Yeah, local community stuff, really, because, I mean, look how much, you know, and again, people are talking about, you know, how Walmart comes in with this big, huge, imperial economy, economic structure, and it literally strangled local manufacturing in the United States to make us dependent on these cheap imports that Walmart was bringing in. And now that we're dependent on the cheap crud, the prices are going up on the cheap crud, we're paying more now for cheap and unreliable junk than we were for locally produced manufactured goods just a few years ago. That's the trap.
Right, and I also believe that you used kind of a buzzword there, it's dependence, and I think the system is going to be very hard to turn around, not just because of the logistics of it, it's because we have grown dependent on the city life.
We didn't grow dependent on the city life, we were encouraged to be dependent. I remember one July 4th, when George Bush Sr. was in his single term in the White House, where he said, you know, instead of celebrating Independence Day, we should celebrate Interdependence Day. And again, that's money junkie thinking, to get everybody dependent on everybody else so that nobody can step out and say, I want to be free. I don't want to be part of the system anymore. I don't want to give you my money, and I don't want anything back from you. That is what freedom is. I don't need you to hand me welfare. I don't want you to be watching out for me. Just leave me alone. And of course, money junkies can't stand that. So, the push for centralization and empire building is all money junkie thinking, and we need an intervention, and we need to basically back away from this. We've had all of these near disasters, and now we're looking at a new world war brought about by the desire of the money junkies to centralize and control everything and bring it all under one rule, one ring to rule them all. We understand as a culture that a single ruler over everything is inherently going to be evil. Why do we go along with it?
That's a very good question. That's a very good question, and I don't know the answer to it. I really don't.
Mm-hmm.
It's mind-boggling to me.
Yes, it is, and I've spent a lot of time boggling my mind over this last weekend.
I mean, it's just astonishing to me that we're not asking this question as a whole humanity.
Well,
I mean, that should
that
be on the top
change.
Of everyone's
That's why
list.
I'm putting the question out there, is I'm going to be spending a lot of time on this topic in the near future. You know, have we just gone down this complete wrong path towards larger cities and larger governments and larger banking systems and larger power generation systems? Are we not perhaps thinking that now's the time to just completely change the path that we're on and say, you know, There's no reason to be in a city anymore. Let's spread out. We're still linked together on the network. We're still, you know, we've got wiring and low, you know, instead of a big power station that can melt down the entire Pacific Ocean, let's have these little tiny locally produced power stations, you know, that our community owns and operates instead of a big mega corporation that owns it all and can charge whatever they feel like charging.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I also agree that you're asking a lot from people, and that is you're asking a large group of people to think. It's very difficult.
Well, I've been working on it for 17 years, and I don't feel like quitting just yet.
All right, good for you.
All right, thanks an awful lot.
All right, bye.
All righty, somebody's writing in and saying that decentralized living would also increase tourism. Yeah, it absolutely would. I mean, I'm going to share a little fantasy with you. You know, if I were to win the lottery, which would probably, first thing I got to do is actually buy a lottery ticket, but I have this dream that my wife and I would return to the mainland. And we're actually probably going to do that very soon anyway, because Claire needs to get to a place where she can work on getting her music out there. But I would love to get a large motor home and fit it out with all kinds of TV cameras and everything, and then just do sort of a cross between a reality show and a travel show. And it's simply driving all over America. Not to the big tourist meccas. We're not going to do Disneyland. We're not going to do Knott's Berry Farm. We're not going to do all the places that people think of when they think of tourism. But go back and like find the original remnants of Route 66 and all these little out-of-the-way places that people have forgotten are out there. We want to call it America Less Traveled. And just basically drive around for 6 months and shoot video and have a production company in Los Angeles editing it together and go out. You know, because, you know, I was born and I grew up in an era where you still did a lot more driving to get around the United States than today with the airplanes and stuff. And I was old enough, I actually did Route 66 just before it got shut down. And if you've ever seen the Pixar film Cars, they're making a lot of allusions to that road culture of America. And if we decentralized and we got away from the big cities and, you know, the human corrals that they use to feed on us and exploit us, and we started spreading back across America that way, I think that kind of culture would come back where, you know, I know the founders of McDonald's always said that people were going to be comfortable when they know they could go into a town and find the same exact food everywhere. I actually find that very boring. When I go to a new town, I want to see what the local restaurants are serving. What is the local food you've got there? Show me something new and different. We've all heard of curry as a spice. And you can go to the market and you get a bottle that says curry. And what most people don't remember is that curry used to be very individualized, very regionalized. And travelers in India would take a package of the curry from their own village. And as they went to other villages, they would share it to sort of bring a taste of their community to the new place, and it was kind of a way of sharing. Oh, we're going to put our curry on the food. Ooh, that's what it tastes like. And it was just a way of bringing the experience of your village to other villages. People who are into real connoisseurship of the good wines and good spirits understand that what you're smelling in the glass and what you're tasting is the community, the farmlands, the environment that the beverage comes from. I'm not talking about the factory-produced wines that come in a cardboard box or with a twist-off caps. I'm talking about, you know, the stuff that's produced in local vineyards where if you've developed the taste for it, you actually can pick up, you know, you can close your eyes and almost get a sense of the space that it came from. Helps if you grew up on a farm as I did. But it's a way of sharing. And there's so much variety out there. And if I ever were able to get that kind of money together, that's what I'd love to do. Take Claire, get a motorhome. Just drive across America and find these little out-of-the-way places that people have forgotten are there. I'm going to call it the America Less Traveled. So that's what I really want to do. That's what I'd really love to do and get out there. And it would stimulate more tourism domestically, internally. You wouldn't have to go to the airport. You wouldn't have to get groped by TSA. You know, just get into your car or camper or whatever and find these little wonderful places that are right next door that you tend to overlook because TV is always saying, come down to the big mega Disney park in Florida or whatever. And you miss the little adventures that are right under your very, very nose. And it's a crime because there is so much about this country that is worth remembering and celebrating that gets overlooked by the big corporate money junkie interests and stuff. Anyway, I wandered off the topic. I didn't mean to go there. All righty. So nobody's on the phone here. We're coming up on our last commercial break of the day. The computers seem to be working fairly decently, despite our big scare just before the airtime here. China will soon overtake the U.S. as the world's scientific superpower. We are a dying, decaying empire. And, you know, we used to be the unquestioned leader in science around the world. Now we're basically barely keeping up with China, Brazil, India, and Japan. And we've done it to ourselves. Our education system dumbed down our students to the lowest common denominator, invested all of the energy and time on making sure that the dullards and the uninterested were forced to meet a minimum standard, and the people at the top, the really bright kids, got neglected. I saw this firsthand. I taught a year of math at the high school level many, many years ago. And one of the reasons I quit that is I was just so angry and frustrated that all of the energy and effort was focused on kids who really just didn't give a darn. And the kids who wanted to learn were being ignored. And here we are. We've lost our scientific supremacy. We'll be right back.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
The Berkeelite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeelite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeelite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeelite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
In times like these, you can't depend on the government to keep you warm and fed, but you can depend on the Vermont Bun Baker to do just that. With a Vermont Bun Baker, you'll never be in a situation where you can't cook, bake, fry, boil water, or heat your home all at the same time. One of the most revolutionary cook stoves, wood stoves ever, the Vermont Bun Baker is available with or without soapstone veneer, a natural stone that retains heat and radiates it back into the room once the fire is out. A beautiful addition to your home, the Vermont Bun Baker has an efficiency rating well above 75% and qualifies for the wood stove tax credit. For more information, watch the Vermont Bun Baker on YouTube and live stream, or visit us at www.vermontwoodstove.com. You can also reach us by calling 1-866-SOAPSTONE. Don't ever be hungry or cold because the power's gone out. With a Vermont Bun Baker, all you have to worry about is what's for dinner.
When all this twisted steel was swept away, did these remaining holes reveal what really happened?
Hello, Aloha America. Welcome back to the show here, last segment of the show, and I'm rather surprised and chagrined. Apparently, some of the people who do not like our website are already sending in nasty comments about my wife's music, which basically betrays a certain childishness, and also the fact they don't have any arguments. Anytime you see them, you know, people going after and making personal attacks on family members, it's basically a confession. They don't really have any arguments to support their particular position. But I guess there's that certain mindset, you know, we're going to get what we want to have, and nobody else can get in our way, and we're just going to slap around people and be unhappy and all the rest of that. Now, interestingly enough, we're watching Donald Trump, I think, getting ready to flame out. I mean, he's kind of getting along in years, and he's got a lot of money. He doesn't need to make any more. And you kind of wonder, you know, he says he's going to run for president. Maybe he's just doing it for vanity's sake, because I don't think he'd make a very good president at all. He's just another money junkie with delusions of grandeur. But he's trying to get himself a lot of press. He's going back to this whole birth certificate issue on Obama, where I think we're a little past this issue, and I want to be very, very careful about anybody bringing it up, whether it's Donald Trump or not. It is a distraction. There are a lot of reasons to not like Obama. There are a lot of reasons to wish him out of the White House. This is a dead end that's going to go nowhere, and I think if Donald Trump digs a little further into the situation as I did and realizes that it's a rather benign non-story, if he doesn't drop it, he's going to destroy himself on it. He's just going to come out looking like a real loser on that situation. Anyway, interesting story. It's a bird. It's a plane. It's a Seagull robot spy drone. This is a new robotic flying drone. It's designed to look like a seagull. Remember, all of the other personal little spy drones the government is developing at taxpayer expense, they look like little machines. You know, you see them up in the air and, oh, wow, it's a spy drone. Well, now they decided they're going to have one that looks like a seagull. And it basically, that's, you know, they're going to fly it around to spy on you. It's rather amazing. You know, they're very easy to shoot down, by the way, but very difficult to clean and cook. I had one boiling in the pot for an hour, and it was still way too tough to chew. And I'm saying that only happened just because, you know, as the country descends into further starvation, you know, people start eating the pigeons and the seagulls and anything they can get their hands on. And, you know, the drones might get hit. All righty. Let's see. Well, we're pretty much at the end of the show here, and we're going to aim toward our sign-off here. I really do think this idea of decentralization, I think the push for centralization to build bigger and bigger piles of money in one place is a bad direction to go. Somebody once said that money is like manure. You've got to spread it out evenly to get the best good out of it, and when you just pile it up in one corner, it's just going to sit there and stink. And yet, for the money junkies, that stink is definitely better than to share and spread around for the greatest good of the society. And it really comes down to a very simple dichotomy. For any one individual, are they thinking just about themselves, or are they thinking about society as a whole? And that really defines pretty much all of political thought. Is that question. That's it for our show. We'll be back tomorrow, 2 o'clock here on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Until then, aloha.
Next.